Bob, in 1980, I took my family around the country to begin my teaching work. And we lived in a travel trailer, four kids and my kid's dad, and we left with $300, a dream, and to practice these laws. And it didn't take long until the $300 was used in gas and food, and we did window washing part of the time, and then the seminar business began to pick up, and we were getting by and loving what we were doing, but we were just getting by financially. Our last engagement had been in Dallas, Texas, and it was 40 days until the next engagement. So we were touring Florida and got to the place where our next event was going to be, but we were running out of money until we got down to $3. So four kids and $3, and I remembered knowing I could call my mother and get some money, but I also knew that the abundance of the universe was not less present in Florida than it had been in other states, but somehow we were accessing less flow. And I remember walking on the beach, and I was mad at the universe, and I was saying, you know, I'm doing what I thought you wanted me to do. I'm in harmony with what I thought I was being asked to do, and there's not enough money even to feed my kids, and I need a sign I'm on the right track. And just as I said, I need a sign I'm on the right track, my foot kicked some sand and a bright, shiny penny. And I picked it up, and I saw the little four words in there, "In God we trust." I knew that there was a message there for me, and I went to the grocery store, and I had these $3, and I got a package of green split peas and a package of yellow split peas, each for 37 cents, so I could make 2 days of soup they'd think was different. And I remember walking through the grocery store aisle to buy that food, and I heard inside myself, "Mary, you're giving of your time, you're giving of your talent, but you're not giving of your money." And I said back to that voice, which speaks to every one of us. Gandhi said that voice speaks to every one of us every day, and as loud as our willingness to listen. So I said back to that voice, "Well, give money. We have so little money. We have barely enough money to buy food and get from place to place." And the voice didn't argue with me. It just said very calmly again, "You're giving of your time, you're giving of your talent, but you're not giving of your money." And I knew in that moment when I'd found that penny and it said, "In God we trust," that I didn't really trust in the law. I trusted in my own willpower much more. So I took 30 cents of the $3 that I had and took it back to the little chapel at the campground where we were staying. And I put that 30 cents in. And the next time a check came, I put 10% of that in, and I began to participate in the law of giving, particularly in the realm of finance. And ever since then, and it's been 27 years, there has never been once where there wasn't an abundance of flow moving through my life in the financial area. No matter what the circumstance, even when things seemed really dire and difficult, there was always enough to take care of me and a flow. It said, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, and that's real.
Mary, what Raymond Hollowell's saying here is in perfect harmony with your own experience. And I can vouch for it because I do this. I believe in this 100%. Didn't always, but I do. He said, many have found tithing a successful form of giving. But the questioning mind wonders, why would tithing be more potent than any other form of giving? It is more potent because you touch the law of giving and receiving in a definite, orderly, and systematic way of giving. You establish a methodical plan of giving, which creates a steady flow of reciprocal good to be received. And I can give you an example. For a number of years, I never really run my own company. I always had somebody else running, and we were always tight on money. We always had money, but we were always tight. And I read one day where J. Paul Getty said, if you have a company and you're not willing to run it, sell it. I thought that's interesting. Now, I had always told these people, I want you to take 10% tithe, 10% of everything that comes in. But then I'd find out later on they didn't do it. They said, well, we really couldn't afford it. Well, at the point where I read Getty's thing about if you're not prepared to run the company, sell it, I took it over myself, and I gave a direct order to the person that looks after the money, 10% of everything comes in, and I told them where to send it, to tithe. We have never had a money problem since, and we have always had lots of money. So what he's talking about here is right, and you see, it is an orderly, methodical plan of giving which creates a steady flow of reciprocal good to be received. When one's method of giving is sporadic or occasional, one's reception of good is irregular and uncertain. Scientists analyze it. They say that tithing gives a person self-reliance, a confidence which enables him to build up a positive mental attitude which attracts success. Others say that a tither already has considerable confidence to take the chance to spend the money in that way. Now, do you see, the real tither would say they're not taking a chance because they're living by law. At any rate, this makes that person a positive type and attracts only positive and goodly conditions. Then there are others who take a spiritual view toward tithing and assume that God is their partner and they are paying only 1/10 of their receipts as his share. Then, too, some make the mistake in tithing when they give for selfish gain or when they make a bargain of it. Remember, it is not the money you give, it is the idea back of the giving that is so vital. If you give money and the idea is wholly one of bargaining, your mind is not free. Therefore, your results cannot be free and full-flowing. Tithing, no matter what one may think about it, if one thinks at all, has a tendency to bring a person in line with the law of giving, and his results will be in proportion to his honesty, sincerity, and spirit of his gift. You know, I have heard all kinds of people talk about it, and they say, well, what are they doing with the money? Well, the truth is, I don't care if they take it out in the backyard and bury it. What they do with the money has nothing to do with it. It's the attitude that you're using. It's the vibration you're in when you're giving it. And you see, that is the whole idea behind it. And when you can freely give and graciously receive, you're going to be a big winner. Now, if you haven't tried it in the past, I'm giving you my word, it works, and it works very well.
Did you know that John D. Rockefeller was a poor boy, but he learned that law early in life? With his first earnings, he kept a record of his givings and his receivings. He kept a ledger through all of his life. And it's known that he gave away more than $500 million. Those were in his times. It would be way more in today's dollars.